Ryan gratefully stripped out of his clothing and stepped into the shower stall to examine his injuries. Minor cuts and contusions, two broken toes, a lump the size of a robin's egg on the back of his skull, a shoulder turning even darker colors of blue and purple. Even his tongue hurt, where his teeth had slammed on it when the android threw him into the wall of the pit. Ryan turned the faucet, praying for a long hot shower. What he got was a trickle of water that wasn't exactly cold, but sure as hell wasn't piping hot. The temperature was as tepid as it had been on the previous night. Ryan quickly washed his hair and body, wincing when he had to raise his twice-injured shoulder. The shower wasn't at all what he had hoped for. He turned the water off and grabbed up a towel, drying himself. He took extra care with the open socket where his ruined left eye had once been. He slid the scuffed eye patch back on and stared at his reflection.
I need a shave, but the hell with it.
Nude, he stepped out into the small bedroom adjoining the bath. Christy glanced up from flipping through a small book with a cracked red leather binding that she'd found in the drawer of the nightstand.
What are you reading?
Holy Bible. Been a while. Says in the front, placed here by the Gideons. Wonder who they were. Some kind of traveling preacher show? Maybe they went from hotel to hotel, leaving Bibles all around to spread the word of God.
Leaving behind the word of God instead of paying the bill, you mean?
No. My Uncle Tyus told me about missionaries back when I was a girl in Harmony. Went everywhere to spread the word. Good men and women who believed in something positive, not like those sick flagellants beating themselves to death, hoping for heaven. I think these Gideons must have done the same thing as missionaries.
Maybe. Ask Doc, if you dare.
He climbed into bed next to her, and she ran the back of her hand along one of Ryan's sandpaper cheeks.
No shave, lover?
Too tired. There's no hot water, either. You might want to run a bath and let it sit for a while. At least then you can bathe at room temperature. If this joint is the best the wondrous freedom all has to offer, I'd hate to see the worst.
I don't mind the stubble. I'm used to the rugged look. Your toenails could use a clipping, however.
That damn sectroid took care of two of them. You got any scissors?
I think JB does, in one of his pockets. I never know what he's going to be pulling out to show off next. Don't want to bother him now, though.
Close call. Us being able to find an eye doc with lenses for JB. Can think of 1,000 other places where we'd have been up the creek, him breaking his glasses like that.
I know.
A man with poor eyesight doesn't have much of a chance when he's trying to stay alive in Deathlands. Get himself and the ones around him chilled in a triple hurry.
We dealt with it as it came down, like we always have.
Traitor would have cut JB loose to find his own way.
So what? As I've told you before, you're not traitor. You're better than he ever thought about being.
Am I? Am I really? In his own way, Traitor was the most honorable man I ever met. Never did anybody wrong on a deal. Never traded some of the more deadly stockpiles we found in those hideaways he was always so good at sniffing out. Hell, he could have earned enough Jack to set up his own private little barony if he'd sold that supply of nerve gas we found.
I never said he wasn't a man with some honor hidden away in a dark corner somewhere. I said you were his better. And nothing you can say is going to change my mind about that, Ryan Cotter.
While speaking, Christy began to examine Ryan's offered foot and calf carefully, lightly running her fingers along the body hair growing there while looking at his toes. To Ryan, the sensation was akin to having 5 feathers run gently up and down his weary 6-foot-plus frame. The woman at his feet turned and placed the lifted leg on one side of her hips, allowing herself full unencumbered access between Ryan's legs. She glanced at his crotch.
I must be slipping.
A timely fragment from Ryan's dream from the Matrans jump popped into his mind and made him smile.
Not a creature was stirring. I told you I was tired.
Bullshit, Ryan. I've never known you not to be up to satisfying our mutual sexual desires. What you need is a more direct approach.
Christy scooted back even farther, bending her head and allowing her full mane of red hair to obscure Ryan's view of what she was doing. Not that he needed to have a picture drawn for him. His senses began to ignore his aches and pains from the sectroid battle and devote their attentions to a new manner of bodily caress. While the thousands of silken fingers of her hair stroked lazily over his skin of their own accord, Christy took him in her mouth, softly lolling her tongue around and around the swelling corona of Ryan's rapidly extending manhood.
I thought you were taking a bath.
Later, lover. After we're done.
She stood and removed her outer shirt. She then playfully unsnapped her bra from the back, releasing her breasts to his heated gaze.
You like the topless look?
Come here and I'll show you.
Ryan feasted on the sight. He followed each indentation left in the sensitive skin, where the straps of the bra had bitten into her voluptuous upper body. He wanted to trace each groove with his mouth and kiss away the reddish lines left in her pale flesh. Christy posed provocatively under his gaze.
Why, Mr. Carter, I do believe you intend to take indecent liberties with me.
That's the plan.
Christy pouted, then strolled over, her bare feet gliding sinuously along the thick pile of the room's carpeting. She crossed her arms and placed her hands over her breasts, hiding the pink tips of her jutting nipples. She bent at the waist and used her hands to create a plunging cavern of cleavage.
Think you can handle both of these?
I prefer to take one at a time.
He nuzzled her neck, working his way down to the tops of her bare breasts. Christy felt his hands at her waist, feeling around her belt and the snap of her pants. She squirmed out of the jeans and panties as he held on to their waistbands, pulling them down as she moved.
I'm ready, lover. From the looks of things, I think you're ready, too.
Come here.
He pulled her down on top of him, their lips joining as he slipped inside of her. Ryan awakened from his post-lovemaking doze. Instantly, his senses came to full attention. Trouble normally didn't come with a knock, but one never could be too careful.
You order room service, Christy?
No, but that's not a bad idea. Breakfast in bed.
It's still night. Not even 11 yet.
He reluctantly untangled his arms from around Christy's sumptuous body, his bad shoulder drawing a wince across his face. He stood up carefully, picked up his Sig Sauer from the nightstand, cocked it carefully, and crouched at the base of the door.
Who is it?
Me, Dad. Sorry to bother you.
Just a sec, Dean.
Ryan stood up and uncocked the handgun. He set it down and grabbed up his well-traveled pants and slipped them on. Once he was partially clothed, Ryan opened the door and stepped out into the hallway where Dean and Jack waited.
Hey, Dean, Jack. I'd let you in, but Christy's sleeping.
Dad, okay, Ryan. We come back too late? Wake you up?
Nah, I was just resting. Been a trip a long day. What's going on?
Well, Jack and me are bored listening to Doc. He started going off on something about the crazy-ass theories of some Dutch guy named Von Daniken and how we were all put here by aliens from another planet, and he just won't shut up about it.
Yeah, I've been on the receiving end of Doc's lectures before. He'll fall asleep soon enough once he gets tired of listening to himself ramble on.
Until then, we wanted to go out and see the mall. Get away from him until he talks himself out or something.
You got a destination in mind?
There's a place for guys our age in here, Dad, called a vid arcade. Supposed to have games and stuff. All kids, no oldies allowed.
I've heard of them. All the rage in the pre-dark days. I'm surprised at you, Jack. I thought you didn't like being called a kid.
I don't. Had to keep a watch on Dean.
I read you, and I appreciate that.
If the vid arcade sucks, we can still look around. Me and Jack figured we could wreck this mall, find out where the good times are for guys our age.
We find Dean a hobby horse and let him ride.
You're not that much older than me, Jack.
I don't care where you go, as long as you stay out of bars and gaudies. I don't need you coming back here drunk or infected.
Oh, Dad, we just want to look.
I keep an eye on him.
You do that.
I can take care of myself, you know. Jack, you want to sit in the room and chat with Doc, you go right ahead. Bore your bony butt into a coma triple quick.
Shoot, maybe I knock you both into a coma. Shit you both up.
Ryan mulled the proposed jaunt over in his mind. Other than the battle he'd entered into in the pit, a battle he'd gone into of his own free will, he'd seen no signs of trouble in freedom. The mall was run tighter than most vills he'd been through, and people seemed to want to mind their own business. He'd never allow Dean to go out alone, but with Jack at his back, Ryan knew they'd be as safe as one could be in Deathlands.
Be careful.
Count on it.
Dean and Jack turned a corner past a former men's clothing store that now served as a combination private residence and produce shop. A few scruffy apples and some dried-up broccoli were in a cart near the proprietor, who sat in a wooden rocking chair with a sleeping child and waited patiently for someone to buy. even at that late hour.
That big lit-up map directory says the vid arcade is supposed to be down at the end of this corridor past the fruit stand.
Uh-huh.
As they walked farther down the indicated corridor, both of them noticed increasing numbers of children and teenagers, varying from 8-year-olds to girls in their early 20s. A few openly gawked at the duo, their attention on Jack's milky white skin and fine whiter hair. The albino, used to being stared at, hardly noticed the rude scrutiny. A tall, wide youth about Jack's age, dressed in matching denim pants and jacket, stopped them at the arcade entrance. A .44 Magnum was strapped to his right leg.
Whoa, Whitey, hold it. You too, kid. Don't recognize either of you, and I don't see proper ID. Visitors, I take it?
Right. What was your first clue?
Got friends?
Dean and Jack exchanged brief questioning looks. Jack shrugged.
What a stupid question. Of course, lots.
The guard looked at the pair facing him, as if they were retarded.
Let me rephrase the question. Got friends here in the mall?
Yeah, back at the Freedom Center Station complex.
No. I mean friends who have played in here before.
In the vid arcade? No.
Then you don't have memberships.
No, I don't suppose we do. How do we go about getting one?
You got the jack, you get the membership.
Why doesn't that surprise me? Everything in Freedom costs money.
For a new boy, he wise up fast.
Come on, Dean. Fuck him. We got Jack, you see.
We'll be back.
I'll be here. My shift goes all night till closing.
Jack sat down on the dirty toilet seat and tried to ignore the pungent odor that had taken up residence in the grimy bathroom, located at the far end of the mall corridor past the vid arcade. For all of the technological marvels that were encased and preserved within Freedom's walls, working public toilets weren't among them.
Oh, God. Smells worse than dark.
Sorry, didn't know you were going to take a dump.
Dean held his nose and backed away against the dirty mirror over the non-working sink across from the open stall.
Here's a helpful hint, though. I think you're supposed to pull your pants down first and then go about your business.
Smartass. You keep watch.
Dean nodded and leaned back against the bathroom door with his full weight.
No one's coming in. The smell would keep them out.
Shit, like you stop them.
Dean half-watched Jack and half-read some of the graffiti scrawled on the back of the bathroom door he was guarding. Most of the comments were sexual in nature, involving male-female, male-male, male-mutie, and most disturbingly, male-animal. He was about to ask Jack to voice an opinion on how he'd personally dealt with the subject of interspecies romances back in Louisiana when the albino suddenly earned his attention. Jack had crossed one leg over his other thigh so he could reach out and touch the bottom of his right combat boot. He now ran his nimble fingers along the edge of the boot, near the heel, until he felt what he was obviously looking for.
Feet hurt?
Jack's fine white hair swung as he moved his head down for a better look at the sole of the boot.
Not yet. They will when I kick the shit out of you for asking questions.
Hell of a place to do a boot repair.
The boot's fine.
Wow, this stuff written on the wall sucks. Doc would hate these. Dumbasses can't even spell girl right.
Finally, Jack got fed up with trying to accomplish his feat by hand and took out one of his throwing knives from a hiding place in his camo jacket, running the sharp blade along the sole of his right boot, barely cutting back the surface. The layer of black rubber peeled away like a piece of masking tape. Putting the knife back in its hiding place, he took one edge of the tread and pulled back until he revealed a second layer. Hidden between the layers were four thin, flat golden wafers. The pale-skinned albino flashed them at Dean like a hand of playing cards.
Jack! I didn't know you had a stash!
Weren't supposed to know. Not much stash unless you keep it secret. I have these a long time.
More willpower than me. I'd have spent it when I got it.
Jack used a fingernail to flick the four wafers into the palm of his other waiting hand, stacking them into a thicker hole. He looked up at Dean and smirked as the gold glinted in the bare white light bulb of the bathroom.
Now they let us into play, fuckers.
The display of gold was effective. The insolent guard stepped aside and pointed them to a back office, past the many working vid games crowded into the arcade.
Boss is back there. Name's Templeton. He'll fix you up.
As true children of Deathlands, both Dean and Jack had never seen anything like the darkened chamber full of young people. There was no interior lighting to speak of. All illumination came from the many vid screens. The noise from the games bombarded them from all sides.
Wow. Used some comps back at school with games. Shoot 'em ups, swag driving simulations, mystery hunts. But they were nothing like this.
You forget. We've seen these kind of games before.
No way! Where?
Redoubt? Western Island?